And we look in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse 16, and you can read along with me out loud. Verse 16 says this, and read along with me. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Let's look in chapter 4 of 1 John. Verse 7 and 8. And it reads, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Amen. Love in action. One of the greatest things that our world needs today, right now, is love. It needs the spirit of love. We see that evident when we see most of the nations are preparing for war. They're training constantly for war. People are guarding their defenses. That goes to show you that the world has no love. Because if it did have love, we would not have to and be defensive for an enemy that will attack. It's evident that love is humankind or mankind's greatest need. It is very important to us. We've had in the past psychologists or psychoanalysts by the name of Sigmund Freud back in 1910. Sigmund Freud was writing tremendously about what love is, how it comes to be, how you can measure it, and all of the like. But his psychoanalytical theories and stuff, to me, was sickening, because it came and it was born out of just demonic kind of thinking. But today, the Word of God is going to tell us in a divine way what love really is. We had more psychologists back then. Actually, we had social psychologists by the name of William. He coined terms of what the world needs and how we define love is in three steps: attachment, caring. He looked at those type of three things, and intimacy. Well, see, we're defining love with definitions, but 1 John is going beyond definition, and he's giving us an indication of how we should love. So, in other words, love is not in word only. Love is in deed. And this is what John is going to show his congregation of Christians, that love is indeed an action word. Because it was divinely inspired, it was divinely given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us the highest, or he's shown us the epitome of what love is. Jesus not only came and said and made promises, but he fulfilled every one of those promises by going to the cross for us, by dying for us, in the epitome of action. So his action matched his words, and that's how we know that we love. So Jesus went a step further, and he's taken us far away from what the psychologists want to define as intimacy, define as caring. Caring is caring for another person's happiness, as well as that person will meet your happiness. Attachment is that you need some physical contact
You need words of approval. You need for someone to accept you. That is an attachment. You need someone to listen to your thoughts as you share their thoughts. That's what intimacy is as well. And you need the desire to be fulfilled, not only emotionally, but the feelings need to come from the words that the person would give to you. So we define it just in emotions. We define it in just maybe some sexual arousal or some sexual touch. We're just looking at the feeling, but Jesus was trying to show us that in the beginning, love was what it does, not defined by some kind of feeling. And so Jesus moved beyond the emotions of things, and he started to define what love, Jesus started to show us in 1 John what love is and what it does. So what is love? It is divinely inspired. Notice that we are looking at 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. And it says this, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. But then when you go to the Gospel of John, John chapter 3, turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 16. This right here is a revelation. This right here was not just put here for happen's sake. How in the world can we see 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, and he said, this is how what we know what love is, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and then he recorded Jesus in the third chapter of John, verse 16, and it's still saying something along the lines of what John just said in his third chapter, verse 16. John 3, 16, we quote this often. We should know this at the top of our heads. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And so if my series is love, the world's ultimate need, then Jesus right here is saying the same thing in the third chapter of John, verse 16. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his own Son. And we're going to see that just because you give does not match that you're saying that you love somebody. We're going to see that this afternoon. Just because you say, I love you, does not match the degree of the love that you have. But because you give somebody something, that doesn't match the love that you have in your heart. I want you to keep that in your mind. So the 16th verse again in the third chapter of the Gospel of John says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So it goes beyond just love does not equate what you give, but you got to believe in the gift that the person is giving you, or you got to believe in that person in order that that gift to say, in order for that gift to come alive and to say that it loves you. So John went another step further. He said that whoever believes in him, the gift of his only begotten Son is not enough. But if you believe in that that gift was out of love and was out of sacrifice, then it becomes love. So I can do things traditionally every year. Valentine's Day can come around. Every year Christmas can come around. Every year, what is that, that day where, you know, sweetest day. We do nice things, we give cards, we offer the expression, I love you, but that is not enough. If you don't believe that the person who's giving you the gifts and saying that they love you, then it is not love. If you're receiving that gift from them and you don't believe in who they are, what they say, what they're doing, and that they got the right motive, then it is not love. So a gift does not equate love. And Jesus is backing us up and showing us this in the gospel. He says, God loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but save the world through him.
And so 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 says the same thing. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Now, I want to show you, and I want you to write some of these things down. The world cannot know what love is until it is shown. Let's write this down. So we just show you that love is divinely inspired by John 3:16. God so loved the world. God is the only one. None of us know what love is except God divinely has shown us from the beginning. That he gave of something of greater value to us that was of equal and great value to him. That's what love is. So you write that down. Number one, love is divinely inspired, as opposed to what our psychologists are saying, that they're just giving definitions of feelings and what people want. But John, 1 John, he goes the step to show us that it is more than words and feelings, it is action. Number two is, love is not easily separated. Love sticks with those who are experiencing hard times. And this is what love is. So turn your book to John chapter 18, and I'll show you this in the Gospel of John. John chapter 18, starting at verse 15. John 18, the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verse 15, start there with me. Again, write this down. Love is not easily separated. It sticks with those who are experiencing hard times. If you say you love somebody, it's going to be shown by your action. And the only way that we love, point one, was I said it was divinely inspired in John 3:16. So as we look in the 18th chapter, verse 15, it goes this. It says this, Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. They were following Jesus. Jesus was doing miracles. He was popular. He had all the attention. He had authority. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He was very nice. He created food out of nothing. He was somebody to sit down and listen to. He had great, awesome wisdom. And here are the disciples, Simon Peter and another disciple. They did not give his name, but it says another disciple were following Jesus. And this another disciple, his name is John. John is writing on love. John knows what love is. That's why in 1 John, he's writing about love. He's telling us it's with action. And I have been a disciple, he's saying, with Jesus, and I've been there with him, I finally know what love is. If it doesn't start first divinely, then the person who says that they love you is not coming out of depth of real love, it's just coming out of depth of human understanding and human feelings and emotion of what love is. But if someone says they love you and they are divinely connected to God, then you're going to get a double portion of what love is coming from that person. First of all, they have a relationship with God, so they know what love is. Second is that they're human, and they have human feelings, and then they can say love. You want a double portion with somebody telling you that they love you, not just a feeling that just comes up because they see you with nice hair or earrings or a nice suit and you're groomed and your face is all cut smooth. It's coming out of human emotion. But if that person got God and they're being human and they're saying they love you, you got a double portion of what love is. And just because somebody's with you doesn't mean that that love is in the depth of, it doesn't mean it's in great depth. Because in the 15th verse it says, Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. Now this is at the point that Jesus is experiencing a very rough time. He's at the culmination point of his ministry, the very purpose that God assigned him here upon earth was about to take place. He was about to put the cap on his purpose for being here upon the earth.
And it says, and this disciple went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. See, love does not separate itself when the person that you say you love and you say you're going to follow starts to experience a rough, hard time and struggle. John did not leave Jesus by himself. He followed him to the point, even that if you chop off my head, it's going to be with Jesus. So when you see people experiencing, you may lose your car, you may lose your apartment, and then all of a sudden, they're not your friends anymore. All of a sudden, they're not answering the phone anymore. All of a sudden, you can't borrow any more money anymore. That goes to show you that love wasn't deep. It was connected superficially. Because as long as you're giving that individual, that person's going to be around. But the depth of that love comes when you are in hard times. So if that person loves you, they are sticking with you through the hard times. And here's John in the courtyard of the high priest. These were the ones that were trying to set Jesus up to kill him. Verse 16. But Peter had to wait outside at the door. You want people to go all the way with you, not at the door. Because when that inner struggle comes, you want people to be right there. Peter's at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. Isn't that something? John is the stronger of the group right now. Peter stayed there at the door. This is love in hard times. This is love when a person is experiencing weakness, when a person is experiencing a struggle, when a person is not sure. John did not want to just be seen like, hey God, hey Jesus, I'm right there with you. Look at all the others. John stopped what he was doing in the courtyard with Jesus as he's being interrogated so he can be sentenced to death. He saw Peter standing at the door. He saw Peter weep. He saw Peter following Jesus, but now at a moment of crucial time, Peter is standing afar off. John went back to the door. He spoke to the person on duty, and he brought Peter up in here. You need people around you that at the moment where you are unsure, the moment when your faith is shaken, you want people to not keep going forward, but to come back and help you get in to the very point of your main blessings. It's almost John was saying to Peter, do not burn your bridges right now. If you burn your bridges now, then when it's time for you to come forth and come through, it will not be there. And you need people around like that. So look in the 19th chapter of John, verse number 26. See, John did not just follow Jesus because he had good words and popularity and he was going to have a seat in the kingdom. It showed that when you're in trouble, Jesus, I'm there with you. Verse 26 of the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John, it says, when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved, Jesus had a love for John because John had a gift to love. His love was just like Jesus. He was willing to sacrifice his life. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Jesus was experiencing a hard time. He was getting ready to be put to death at the apex of his ministry. And here's John. He's there with the grieving and the brokenhearted. And he offered himself to take her into his home to care for her. He told John, he says, from now on, this is your son. And Jesus was saying, he's just like me. He will be nothing different. And John took her and brought her into his home to care for her, to take care of her during her time of grief. See, we don't want to run during the hard times. And that shows that the love of God is not in you. That shows that you are not being open to the power of God that can work in us to produce change, not only on the outside, but can produce change in you as well. It is the power of God that work in us to produce an outward change, to have change come into an atmosphere and also change your life as well.
John took the mother who was grieving over her son into his own home. Now, John chapter 20, verse 2 through 4, it says this.
I want you to listen to this. Remember, my second point was, love is not easily separated.
John loved the things that Jesus loved.
John loved Jesus' mother Mary.
John loved him even at the point of him being interrogated. And look in the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John, verse 2. It says, so she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb. Now, this is the resurrection point. And we don't know where they have put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb.
Now, listen to this.
Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first.
Look at that. Here's the disciple. That's what love do. They both started running, but here's this disciple who loved Jesus. He outran him and reached the tomb first. It's hard to separate that which you really love. And I'm going to tell you something, friends and congregation people. You will be put to the test. The Lord will allow storms to come in your life so bad that you're going to be put to the test to see if you believe God that He can change things, believe God that He can restore, believe God that you can trust Him. And you will be put to the test. He will have Satan unleash all of his things against you. And God's going to see where your love truly lies.
Amen.
He outran the other disciple and he got to the tomb first. Verse 5 says, he bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, again, Simon Peter is behind him. So if you had a choice to date two type of people, if you had a choice to figure out who's going to be your husband or who's going to be your wife, are you going to pick the one that's at the door during times of grief and trial? And then are you going to pick the one who arrived to the tomb last? No, you're going to go for the person that's showing the action rather than just the words.
A words don't mean a hill of beans.
It says, Simon arrived at the tomb last. And this is what it says. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head.
Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. But it says, when Simon arrived at the tomb in verse 6,
he went into the tomb. You don't need anybody. Anybody says they love you and they show up at the last minute. They show up when things are gone. They show up when things are over. They show up when you done went through the trial already. Then they come in and nothing's there. Now Peter wants to come in. Because why? The high priests aren't there. The Roman soldiers aren't there. So they can grab him and persecute him and sentence him to death also. But Peter goes in after the tomb is empty. But when John outran him and went to the tomb, he didn't see anything there. What was it that he needed to go in for?
Again, my point too is that love is not easily separated. It sticks with those who are suffering hard times. Point number three, write this down. Love is an action to place a need before your own. Love is an action to place a need before your own. In other words, it becomes charity and sacrifice. 1 John 3:17, which we started out with, give us a clear picture of love in action, placing a need before your own. It's a mixture of charity. Charity is the English word that comes from grace. Charity is grace. Charity is giving. And it is also sacrifice. You see, love is much more than just a gift giving. It is also sacrifice. You got to think about this. Would you give somebody something that doesn't have any value to it? How do you love somebody? Would you buy somebody a ring that only costs you $5 when you know you got $1 million in the bank? Why would you buy somebody a ring for $5 when you know you have $1 million in the bank? So love is gift giving, it's graceful, it's kind, it's charity giving, but it's also involved with sacrifice with it as well. That's the double portion of what love is. That's what God calls us to do as our actions here upon the earth. Sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice for me to attend college and go to college if I like to stay at home and read and study in the first place. That's not a sacrifice because I'm already doing that. It's not a sacrifice for me to live in the country when I know I hate living in the city and all the hustle and bustle of that city. It's not a sacrifice if I grew up as a country boy and I stay in the country. But the sacrifice comes when it's something that is maybe hard for you to give up, or it is something of equal and intense value that you would value yourself, and you give to somebody else, that is a sacrifice and charity. And this is what God did in 1 John 3:17, that he died. If anyone has material possessions and see his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? See, it's good to give a gift, but let that gift be something that you would want to take partake of as well. Now, John, you know, in John, let me tell you something. He uses in 1 John, just the letter of 1 John alone, he uses the word love 33 times. This is a revelation. Jesus died at the age of 33. And John alone in 1 John uses the word love 33 times. 2 John, he uses the word love 4 times. And in 3 John, his letter, he uses the word love 1 time.